All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And, if you've ever wondered how a savvy real estate investor from Ajax turned $208,000 into $625,000 in just 1 year, my guest today, Nitin Obroy from Ajax, spills the beans on his success. Nitin, welcome to the show. Excited to dive into your real estate journey.
Thank you, Bryce, for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be on this show.
Yeah, no problem. It's, if we're doing an interview show, we need people to interview, and I'm always interested in different stories. So let's start with the obvious question. How did you turn 200,000 into 600,000 in 1 year?
Yeah, so and this happened in 2022. We found a property. It was on Facebook Marketplace. It's in up northern Ontario, Timmins, where we saw that, an investor who is in deep trouble, he has 8 units, all water damaged, and now he cannot get an insurance claim. And now he has no tenants, and he is paying money every month for his mortgages. So we thought, okay, can we help this client? And we looked into the property. It was in really bad shape. We asked the seller, okay, yeah, it's totally water damaged. Nobody can stay. And an insurance claim was also not, had denied the client with the insurance. So what we thought, okay, let's work with this investor and see if we can help him. So we bought this property for 208,000, and we told him that, nobody will give us mortgage on this because it's not livable. And that's how we became friends, and became such a good friend that he offered a VTB. So he gave 100,000 VTB. We brought in our own cash, and we started renovating this property. Long story short, this year, we completed all the renovations. We put the tenants in, and we got the after-renovation value at $650,000. So that's how, with working with an investor, helping him, we all earn money together.
Yeah, so that was last year. What have you been working on so far this year?
So this year, we are more looking into the land development. We are looking into the bigger bungalows where the zoning allows for us 6 to 10 units, because that's what, the missing piece is right now. Either you will see a smaller duplex, or you will see the long residential multifamily, like 8 to 12 units. Yeah. But we miss a piece there, right? Anything between 4 to 10 units. And now the Doug Ford government in Ontario allows, they're offering so much discounts, and they're motivating investors to build those. So that's what we're right now focusing on.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely have a shortage of property. It seems to be in the news quite a bit these days with the, they're loosening. It seems good on paper, but I know that when we walk down that road, there's going to be red tape, but with any development, there's red tape. So let's rewind a little bit. And how did you get started in real estate? What was your first step into the business?
Yeah. So like many others, I also started my real estate journey by watching Bigger Pockets, YouTube videos and their podcasts. That's how then I read Rich Dad and Poor Dad, because in school, we don't get a real estate education, right? It's just that you get an education, go out of the college and get a 9-to-5 job. But the real money is in real estate. So that's where I learned from the Bigger Pocket. And that's where, I was watching a video where Brandon Turner from Bigger Pocket was telling them how you can refi your current property and buy an investment property and keep the ball rolling. From there, you can buy 2, 2 to 3 and 3 to 5. That's how I started. So I refinanced my own house in Mississauga and bought an investment property in Cambridge, which I turned into student rental, got a positive cash flow, and turned that one property into then a triplex, then a triplex to 8 units. That's how I started growing my portfolio.
And so how many years ago, or how many years did it take to cycle that money up?
I'll say it takes at least 1 year to 1.5 years for each property to recycle. Property.
So that's like a five-year journey.
Five-year journey, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of times people just sell the house they're in and move into another one, or they sell their primary and buy a rental and now they're renting. So I really like the strategy of like collecting and recycling and collecting and recycling. It can take some time, but you're your own partner, so you can really kind of, you don't have anyone kind of the monkey on your back. You know, there's no one else that you're dealing with. So where do you want to take your business in the next 12 months?
So next 12 months, that's what I want to learn more, how to raise capital, because capital is one thing which you will always fall short. If you have your own money, there will be a point, you will run out of the money. However, that's what I want to see, with this land development deals we are working right now. If there are more investors who want more active or passive income, that's what we would like to do in the next 12 months, is to build more buildings.
Yeah, definitely. It takes capital to c do these constructions, and significant capital in a lot of cases, because you're not just building a single family. Now you've got six kitchens and six bathrooms, or maybe even 12 bathrooms, depending on what you're
Right.
building. So, with all you've accomplished so far, what would you say your biggest obstacle is moving forward on that?
Okay, it's a capital, I will say. Capital is the most challenging and most difficult. And I know that, they've helped so many different people in raising the capital. So for me, the biggest challenge is raising the capital right now. And that's what I'm working on right now.
Yeah, so with raising capital, have you've raised some capital before, or have you been relatively self-financed in your journey?
I have raised capital, but it was within friends and family. But now I would like to go out and explore other opportunities which are there.
Okay, so you've raised from friends and family. How did that conversation get started? How did you get connected? Were you at, I guess, Christmas dinner, or a barbecue, and you started kicking up the conversation, or how did that get started?
Yeah, with the friends and family, if you tell what you're doing right now, everybody loves to get rich. So when they hear your story, right, that how you are making the money, they also want to get involved in it. So that's what with friends and family, it was not that much challenging. I told my story, what am I doing, and they automatically told that, like in any time, if you need any money, we would love to partner with you. So that's
Yeah.
how it started.
So having that track record really helped you raise that capital, because you had already proved it. That's a
Right.
big challenge for people to get started, is, what if you've never proved it? And so real estate's proven. The only thing that's maybe not proven is you in a particular way. When you're, for instance, myself, when I got started, real estate's a proven model, but now I got to go prove myself. So what's one strategy that you've used? Like, are you going to networking events these days? What are you trying to do so far to get access to more capital for these constructions?
Yeah, I try to go to as many networking events as I can, and not only just real estate related. It can be other investment. Like last night I went to it was a fund. It was a fund that was created for stock trading. And I knew that, there are a lot of investors, more of a, like doctors and lawyers who have a lot of money, and they don't have time for investing in real estate. So that's where, I go into these networking events where there are people who want to park their money for their retirement.
Yeah, because that's an interesting thing you mentioned, is that we can go to these real estate events, but those people already know how to do real estate, so we're not really raising capital from those people. You
Right.
have to go to like an entrepreneur event, or different non-real estate events. You can meet people who are maybe business owners that want to park money in another wealth building class like real estate. So when you're out there networking, what have you found to be most effective to keep in touch with the people that you meet, as far as raising capital is concerned?
Yeah, so for them, if you have to start a pitch, don't sell anything. Just tell them, that how you also invest. Like for example, this stock investments, right? I told my story how I lost so much money in the stock, and that's where I pivoted from stocks to the real estate. And just telling your story and how others can also benefit from real estate. That's where you started from. And in order for you to track them, the best thing now I started using is that just I give my phone to them and say that if you are active on social media, which everyone is right now, just ask them to add you in their Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn. And once you reach home, just thank them for their time they spent today and just be in touch with them. And if any new project comes up, don't shy away from sharing those investors.
Yeah, so like tagging the social media, that's like the new business card for you.
Because I
Instagram
realized
is
that,
kind of it too.
when you give a business card to someone, most of the time it's thrown in the dustbin.
Unless it's going in the free lunch bowl at this at the local sub shop, that's where business cards end up these days. So, when you're looking for deals, are you more of a find the deal and then get the money, or do you prefer to have your money lined up, your capital lined up, and then go looking for deals?
It's both. Sometimes if I have a deal, I would like to take the deal forward with the investors. But with other instances, like I need to keep the capital ready. So that's what I take my old case studies of my old investments, how I did, what I did. And I just make the investors ready that in case a deal lands in, how quickly they will be able to jump in.
So you'd mentioned earlier about presenting your deals. When you actually get connected with someone, say through a networking event or what have you, how do you go about doing that pitch? What tips do you have for people listening at home?
So if anyone listening, just tell your story. The best thing you can do is just tell your story, just add a little emotional touch to them. And once you tell a story, people feel tend to connect it. But on the other hand, if you tend to do a sales pitch, that's when, people run away from salesmen. Rather than pitching for the sales, just ask them, is there a problem you can solve for them? The moment you open up with them, like either, and you, if you can value add anything in your life, in their life, that's the best thing you can do for an investor. There are so many other people like me who are looking for money, but how I stand out is that if there can be one thing which I can help with this investor, it can be real estate, it can be something else. And that's where, you add value in other people's life and eventually the money will come in. Don't run behind the money.
Just try to solve their problem instead of yours is what you're saying.
Exactly.
So we touched on this a little bit before the show, but for most people to invest significant capital with you, they need to know you and like you and ultimately trust you. What are you doing for these things these days?
For In order to get trust, what I do normally is that, if I find a property, I go out, I take the videos of them. Also, I speak to different investors going to these conferences. Because once people start seeing the video of these properties, they can at least get a glimpse of it, what they will be investing in. Like most of these multifamily, they are not those fancy buildings like the residential houses, right? They are in pretty rough shape, but you have to create a vision for those kind of multifamily. Like if you buy these kind of properties, what you can turn them into. And most of the investors are numbers guy. So what I started doing now is that, I take a one pager sheet in an email format to them or in a hard copy. Like what is the current value? How we will improve this property and what this property will look like in future and how soon the money can be pulled out of the property. Once the investor sees the numbers, right, and how soon they can recoup their money out, that's where they get interested. They are not interested in how fancy is the flooring or how fancy is the lighting.
And you do have to bring that vision to the table because these properties, you don't get it at a discount because it's, turnkey or, even beautiful in that sense. So, with the market being what it is these days, working in Ontario, what are some trends as, because I don't know if we mentioned this yet, but you're also a realtor in the market. What are some trends that you can fill us in on that we might not be aware of, or some different ways that we can make that you're seeing people making money in the market there?
So I'm seeing two different kinds of trends right now. One is I'm seeing a lot of foreclosures, people running away from the new construction, like they have paid the deposit, but they don't have enough money to close. Secondly, especially in the multifamily, if people have bought these investment properties in 2022 with the private money, and now with the interest rates so high, they cannot get a proper financing. Those are the properties I'm seeing that, are coming for foreclosures. So what I'm helping my clients is, if there is a property coming for foreclosure, see is there an opportunity you can go and buy in the property, maybe with a with a conventional mortgage or with a private money, and see down the line when the interest rate goes down, maybe in 2024 mid or even in 2025, does this investment still make sense? And if anyone is ready to take risk, this is the right opportunity for them to get in. Yes, I know it will be difficult for next 6 months, but once the interest rates start going down, people will start coming back to the investments, right? So before anyone else comes, if you can acquire these properties, because right now there's so much negotiation you can do on the market. There are not many buyers in the market, so you can turn and twist the deal, which works both for you as well as the seller. There are creative financing which is available. A lot of time, these investors are even ready to give the vendor take back mortgages, so even you don't have to go to the banks for funding. So like I have done VTB and it works for everyone. You can go with interest only payment, or even you can go with a balloon payment which you can pay after 5 years. So that's what I'm seeing right now. A lot of creative financing, a lot of creative deals which are there in this market.
Yeah, and people having to give up their properties. Maybe they bought too hot, or maybe their financing wasn't right, or they couldn't get it done on time. And yeah, there's definitely I think, I can't remember who said it. I think it's Warren Buffett, something about fear and greed. And when people are fearful, try to be not greedy, but take opportunity. And when people are being greedy, be fearful the market's going to turn. So that's some great advice for people working in the Ontario market. And if they want to get a hold of you, they want to find out more, then connect with you as an investor and a realtor, what should they do? How do they find you?
Just type my name on Facebook or Instagram, they can find me.
You want to spell it
That,
out for the people driving
yeah.
in the car there on Instagram?
Yeah, it's Nitin Oberoi dot REA. That's
Okay.
on Instagram as well as Facebook.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, well, I really appreciate your perspective. And if you're a developer in Canada, keep your eye on the news because they are allowing density. We'll just see how much red tape we have to cut to get to the finish line. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bryce. Thanks for having the show.
Yeah, no problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.